Jesus went out with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They answered him, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others as one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he strictly warned them not to tell anyone about him. Well, took the disciples a while to click who Jesus was. And in our text today, we see the first inkling that they're starting to get that there might be more to Jesus than they thought. But before we come to that event with Jesus asking the disciples, we have this story of the blind man. Now, this is a true story, but I think Mark uses it as a metaphor for the disciples' journey. So let's see what's going on with the blind man and then how it relates to Jesus' interaction with the disciples. So if you were here last week, you know the immediate context before this. Fletcher preached on that. They've just crossed the lake and they arrive at Bethsaida, where some people bring this blind man to Jesus. Now, Mark mentions Bethsaida once on an earlier occasion, but not much actually happened then. They just sort of passed through it. But this time, Jesus has developed a reputation in the region, and so they bring this man to him. And what does Jesus do? Well, he takes the blind man aside, and that's when things start to get weird again. Seems to often be the way with Jesus. So he spits on the man's eyes. What's going on there? Well, apparently these kinds of acts were common among Jewish healing rituals. But when Jesus does it here, it doesn't work very well. It sort of works, it doesn't completely work. And so Jesus has to have another go, puts his hands on the man's eyes, and then the man sees everything clearly. And then, as is typical for Jesus, he tells the man not to go into the village, not to tell anyone. Well, why is that? Well, healing was an important part of Jesus' ministry. It was part of the kingdom coming to this world, but Jesus was more interested in healing hearts and connecting people to God through his teaching than just healing their bodies, although he healed generously everyone who came to him. But he's getting this reputation, got this reputation as a healer, and it's almost distracting from the main game of teaching and bringing people to the kingdom, and people just aren't getting what Jesus is about. But the strange thing here is in every other instance in the Gospels where Jesus heals someone, the healing is instantaneous, but here it's not. So what's going on? Well, Luke tells us, and this is just a little bit of conjecture, what Luke tells us that when Jesus went to Nazareth, he could only do a few miracles there and heal a few people because the people didn't believe. They didn't have the faith. And, you know, Jesus has the power to heal. God has the power to heal and do miracles, but people have to be willing to trust him. And where there's no trust, no faith, then he seems to limit himself in what he can do. And perhaps that's what's happening here. People have brought the man to Jesus. He perhaps comes with little faith, but once that healing starts, faith grows. And the other thing we notice in this story is that the man, as his eyes start to open, everyone looks like people walking around like trees. And then Jesus touches his eyes and the man looks at Jesus intently. His gaze shifts. Whatever the reason, Mark places the story here to make a larger point, I think. So Jesus and the disciples start to move north to the Gentile region of Caesarea Philippi, which is in modern-day Syria. And it's just as Jesus took the blind man aside, now he's taking the disciples aside to reveal something to them. And Jesus asked them this question, "Who do the people say I am?" Now, the people, of course, revere Jesus. He's a prophet, some say. Some say he's a teacher. But he's so much more. They recognize something in Jesus that's divine, or divinely inspired, that God anointing on him. But like the blind man, they don't see clearly. They sort of see people like walking around like trees. There's more than meets the eye, but they only have partial sight at best. So then he says to his disciples, second go, "What about you? Who do you say I am? What do you see?" And then Peter makes this declaration, "You are the Messiah." Now, actually, they still don't fully get the full revelation of who Jesus is, because they didn't have an expectation that Messiah would actually be God incarnate in flesh. That comes later. But they're making this statement, they're seeing Jesus as the Messiah. So at last, the disciples are starting to get it. They're starting to see clearly. And as in the story of the blind man, Jesus strictly tells them not to tell anyone. Now, Mark has this motif in his gospel that's been dubbed the Messianic Secret. And the idea is that people in the story, including the disciples, don't understand who Jesus truly is. His identity as the Messiah, as the Son of God, is kept hidden. And it's only those with faith who come to see. And the time is still to come when the full revelation of the Messiah and his mission can be understood in light of the cross. And we're going to actually look at that next week. But now the disciples, his closest followers, are starting to see and to understand and receive that revelation. You know, many of us have people in our lives that we wish would just understand. You have someone like that, it's like, it just seems so obvious to you. Why can't my friend or my family member see what's so obvious? How can we make them see? How can we bring them to Jesus? Or maybe you feel like the blind man spiritually. Someone has, or you just don't get it. You know, someone has brought you to see Jesus, you kind of get Christianity, but not completely. How can you come to see more clearly than you do now? Or maybe you've got a mixture of those things. When we look at the disciples, we see that this understanding has come to them by revelation, actually. Now, Mark doesn't spell it out, but in Matthew's retelling of this event, in Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20, Jesus tells Peter that this hasn't come to him by human understanding. He hasn't figured it out himself. No one told him. It is the Father, God, who has revealed it to him. And so just as the blind man needed Jesus to open his eyes, so the disciples, and so we need a revelation from Jesus to open our eyes and the eyes of our friends and family. Revelation, that's something God does. God sort of opens the curtains so we can see him. We can't just conjure it up. You can't force yourself to see something that God isn't showing you. But you can position yourself to receive that revelation. So how do we do that? How do we position ourselves so that when God is ready, we can see it and we're ready and we're waiting? And in fact, isn't it the case that sometimes God picks a rando and just says, "Right, I'm going to show you something." But very often it's as we are positioning ourselves to receive a revelation, we're hungry for God that he shows us more. So how do we do that? Well, for the disciples, of course, it meant spending a lot of time with Jesus. They seem to spend a lot of time in boats. Here we are in a boat again, crossing the lake, which is quality time with Jesus. No one can disturb them. Well, they're talking as they travel from place to place here. They're wandering through the Gentile regions of Caesarea Philippi. Jesus takes them aside for a retreat. But always they're seeing Jesus minister and teach. And so for us, are we in a place where we can hear and see Jesus? I talk a lot about having a personal devotional time, and that's vital, but it's not the only thing that's important. Jesus has called us into community, and it's through his community, the church, his body, which is quite profound in this light, that he often is revealed. And it's as we serve and as we do life together that we learn and grow and hear the voice of the Spirit speaking through Christ's people. The other thing is that for the disciples, as we look back over the journey we've been on through Mark, for the disciples, moving into this revelation meant stretching way beyond their comfort zone. So in the preceding passage, Jesus basically tells the disciples, think, and challenges them to think more deeply about the meaning of his teaching. In other places, he sends them out two by two into the villages around to prepare his coming. None of the support structures they're used to. Don't take any money. Don't take an extra tunic. Don't take a staff. Take nothing. All you have is God. They go out with none of the support structures they need, but all the authority and actually all the resources they need because they have God. They stretch outside their comfort zone in ministry. And I know some people here have stretched outside your comfort zone by being involved in mission or in other kinds of ministry. Perhaps you've had to travel to other places for ministry. And it's these opportunities where you step outside your comfort zone, where you have to rely on God in strange situations that our faith starts to stretch. And we see Jesus in new ways, in ways we could never have done otherwise. I'm a naturally timid person. I don't like the stretch. But we have to put ourselves in those positions so that we can see God at work. It's interesting that in this story, the revelation comes as they're moving into Gentile territory. Caesarea Philippi was a center of idolatry, and some pretty gross stuff went on there, actually. It wasn't the kind of place a good Jewish boy went. And next week, the stretch will get even harder as Jesus tells the disciples they need to take up their cross and follow him. Next week, our time, when we talk about that. So here's the question. Are you in a place where Jesus can take you deeper, where you can your faith can be stretched, move outside of your comfort zone in ministry, in following him? And it bears reminding that this is also a walk of faith, a faith stretching, of learning to trust Christ more deeply. We can't receive anything from him if we're not willing to trust him. And trust can look like all sorts of things. I think about my wife when we met. I mentioned this story before on the doulos, but Andrea, I was just a bit of a layabout. I did have a job, but I didn't have a career at that stage. Andrea had done her training as an occupational therapist. She was settling into her new role. She just basically was in a graduate position, and opportunities were starting to open up for her when the Lord called her into mission. What are you going to do when you have a career opportunity here and then the Lord says, no, 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 I want you to give it all up? Some of you have been in that position and made the choice to give it up and follow God. I wonder if you have made the opposite choice. You know, the good news is it's never too late. Well, I'm really glad Andrea made the choice to come on missions, because that's where I met her. Faith stretches. It's in those moments we'll see God in new ways. So that's for us who know Christ. What about those who don't? If you've got friends who don't know Jesus, like the blind man, they need someone to bring them to him so he can open their eyes, and that might be you. How do we do that? Well, of course, you know, it begins by bringing people to God in prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the eyes of unbelievers to the gospel. So we need God, we need to ask God, as in this story, to open their eyes. We need to pray that they'll receive that miracle of revelation so they can see him. But it might also mean bringing them to a place where they can hear the gospel. An invitation to someone who is a person of peace to you. So we say a person of peace is someone who likes you. So you have a relationship, who listens to you. So there's some respect for what you say, and they serve you. So you know that there's something more in this relationship. And when those three things come together, this is perhaps someone who's open to hearing more about the gospel. And that might be through an invitation. Hey, I'd love to read the Bible. I'm looking for someone. Would you read the Bible with me? It might be sitting down and saying, you have watching something, a Christian video, like perhaps a Chosen or something like that, or some evangelistic teaching. Next year, we're hoping to run Alpha, and maybe we'll be able to run some guest-friendly services that you can invite people to. And maybe Jesus will open their eyes up in those contexts, or at least open up opportunity for further discussion. We need to position ourselves. We can help position others as they're open. We don't want to force anyone. We don't want to coerce anyone. That's not the way Jesus does it. But we do want to invite and create opportunities for them. So in this story, it takes time for the man to see. It took time over the course of the gospel for the disciples to see. It takes time for our loved ones to see and for us to see. And whether we're confronted by physical or psychological or spiritual obstacles, there's work that needs to be done so we can see clearly. It takes patience and it takes persistence. So we need to trust Jesus for the revelation. We need to spend time with him. That man, as his healing begins, he looks intently at Jesus. We need to lean into the faith-stretching opportunities as the disciples do, we've seen in the gospel. We can invite our friends to come into proximity with Jesus. And as we do so, may we all see Jesus more clearly. Let's pray. Father, our prayer is that you would open our eyes to see Jesus. Father, some of us have been walking with him for a long time and see Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. We always want more. Higher up and further on. Lord, for some of us, perhaps it just seems very blurry, that vision of Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll clarify it. Give us hearts to look at you intently. And for our loved ones who don't know Jesus, we just pray, Father, that you will give us, in a bold but gentle way, to be able to bring them into proximity to Jesus so that he can open their eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.